Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Hear now the word of the living God. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is the word of the living Christ, and we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the preaching of his word this day. Now, O Lord, we pray that you would incline our hearts to hear, break through the jagged and rough places of rebellion that remain in our hearts. Push down any distractions that would keep us from meditating fully on the law and gospel of the living God. Comfort those who feel as if they are a broken reed. Restore those who recognize today their need for repentance. And we pray that if it be your will, awaken the hearts of those who are yet, until this moment, lost in their sins and separated from you, in need of a Savior. So we pray that your Spirit, that precious one who works in the hearts of undeserving sinners, would work in a thousand ways this day in keeping the will of you, our triune God. In Jesus' name, amen. Augustine, a Christian, writing in the late 300s, early 400s, has the following words to say about this particular commandment. He uses a word for the Ten Commandments, Decalogue, which means 10 words. Augustine writes this, "In the Decalogue itself it is written, you shall not bear false witness, in which classification every lie is embraced. For whoever pronounces any statement gives testimony to his own mind." End quote. Some 1,700 years ago, Augustine, our brother, is writing, and his comment on this commandment is really the church's main understanding of this commandment down through the ages. That this particular commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, is indeed a prohibition, a command against telling someone a lie or sitting in a jury and lying about someone. But this commandment is actually a commandment which prohibits all lies, all lack of truth. Each of these Ten Commandments calls us to mirror God. Each of these commandments tells us to do certain things and to not do certain things. If the first four commandments call us to have the right God and the right worship and the right reverence for His name and the right rhythm of our lives, the second table of God's law, or those commandments which relate to how we interact with each other, calls us to honor a variety of things. We're to honor authority, the fifth commandment. We're to honor life, the sixth commandment. We're to honor marriage and faithfulness, the seventh commandment. As we saw last week, we're to honor property, and today we should see that we are called to honor and uphold truth. So let's walk through the pages of Holy Scripture and see the ninth commandment, this, yet again, moral precept of God's. We'll look at it this morning in three different ways. First, let's consider the basis of truth. If we're called to be truth tellers, if we're called to be people who do not lie, what is the basis of this? Well, let's walk through a few passages of Scripture. You'll recall in Genesis chapter 1, God speaks creation into existence. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and it was so. God speaks creation into his existence. His words are trustworthy and true. They are the standard of truth. Creation itself is brought about by the words of God's mouth. Exodus 20, verse 16, our text tells us that we are to be a people of truth, the old covenant people under Moses. And now we, the new covenant people of God, in union with Christ, we're to be a people of truth. But listen further to the basis of this commandment. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is our standard. You may say to yourself, well, I'm more of a truth teller than my neighbor. I'm more of a truth teller than my coworker, than my friend at school. But God is actually the standard. Listen to Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not like us. He doesn't lie. He always tells the truth. Thus, when he calls us to be holy, we are to be people who tell the truth. Titus 1:2 says, God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible that God should lie. John 7, verse 28, Jesus says that God is truth. John 8:14 declares that Jesus' testimony is true. And if that were enough, God, who created all things by his very word, sends his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem sinners. And listen to what is described about his work. John 8:32 declares that Jesus' followers will know and be set free by truth. You see, the basis of this commandment is God. God, who he is, his very character and nature, and his acts, his words. Every time we lie, we look like the opposite of what we were made to be. A mirror, an image of God. The basis of truth, then, is God and his truth-telling. But as this command likely implies to us, it's possible that we break the truth, don't we? We lie. We've seen briefly the basis of truth, so let's consider the breaking of truth. Just as God's words are true, his image bearers should abound in truth. Now for this, let's just walk through the pages of Scripture as we've done with these commandments. Proverbs 12:22 teaches us that lying and a lack of truth are an abomination to the Lord. He hates lying. He hates a lack of truth. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 5 and 6 declares to us that we must keep our word. But Jesus, of course, teaching on the law of God in that great Sermon on the Mount, helps us to understand further this particular commandment. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. If you're new to the Bible, this is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5. It's in this book that we learn about Jesus' coming, his life, his teachings, his death on the cross, his resurrection. But in this book of Holy Scripture, we hear the words of Jesus' great sermon. Three chapters, really, called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus corrects some misunderstandings about how to understand the law. And in Matthew 5, verse 33, we read these words. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now there's a little bit of context here. Jesus is the interpreter of God's law. And notice, He takes us to the very heart intent behind all the words that we offer. In Jesus' day, there was this pattern where some people wanted to be seen as truth tellers. So they would find certain things to swear by in such a way that they could kind of at least outwardly get out of being seen as telling a lie. And Jesus is saying, don't swear by these things. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And then notice what he says. For whatever is more than these, whatever you're doing to skirt the truth beyond yes and no, is from the evil one. You see, Jesus helps us to understand where lies come from. They come from our sinful hearts, but they are so often influenced by the enemy. That great liar of old who first whispered in Eve's ears, did God really say? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6 teaches us that truth is a part of love. Maybe you're wondering these days, because the world is talking about what love is. Bumper stickers, flags, parades, commercials, TV shows, all discussing what true love is. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6 tells us, among other things, that true love rejoices with the truth. Listen, when you gently and humbly tell someone the truth, you are loving them. We live in a day where it's the exact opposite. You'll accept me and who I am. You'll accept my sins, as you call them, if you really love me. But God says, actually, when we are telling someone truth, it's part of loving them. Proverbs 21, verse 6 tells us that lying is ultimately unprofitable in the end. How many of you have told a lie because you think that it will profit you? The wisdom writer of the Old Testament tells us that lying is unprofitable in the end. Psalm 119, verse 173, the writer of that psalm says that God is one whose followers hate falsehood but love his law. Or how about Philippians 4, verse 8? A very helpful passage in a day when our minds are full of anxieties and fears. Tells us what to think about. You remember one of the things that we're to think about? We are to be focused on what is true. You see, the scriptures know of many different ways in which we tend to break this commandment. We tend to break the truth. Sometimes it's quite clear. It's quite ugly. Listen to what James says in James 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Notice our words with one another are not to be whatever words we desire, but they're to be governed by what is good and what is true. Do not speak evil of one another. It's at this point we should look at something that Scripture declares regarding how we speak about one another. We've walked our way through the Ten Commandments, all but one, Lord willing, next week. These are the principles for what God expects of every person in every time period, in every land. But the commandments themselves actually work their way through the pages of Scripture. Listen to the way that this commandment is used regarding how people speak about one another. Consider what the Scripture says about slander. Leviticus 19:16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Psalm 101:5, Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Now, how are these connected to this particular commandment? Well, listen to the way that Scripture actually connects gossip to this commandment. Gossip to lying. Some English translations bring this out perhaps more clearly than others. Listen to the way the English Standard Version renders Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. What is the standard of honesty? The ninth commandment. So notice what Proverbs is saying about a dishonest man. A person who breaks the ninth commandment is a whisperer, or one who spreads strife. And of course, I don't think I have to labor long to convince you that one of the most damaging and harmful things in the church is that of gossip, whispering. But listen to how the Scripture goes one step further. You see, gossip is often a two-way street involving one person's mouth and another person's ears. Again, in the English Standard Version, listen to Proverbs 17:4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Now, you often think, don't you, that a breaking of the ninth commandment is what we do with our lips. But what does God's word say? A breaking of the ninth commandment is also what we do with our ears. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. In other words, if I stand and listen to you speaking gossip, slander, and I don't do anything about it, I stand there and receive it, God's law actually condemns me for it. You see, the breaking of truth is not simply giving testimony in a court of law and not perjuring oneself. It's about upholding truth in what we say and in what we hear. Now, of course, there are times where we can't go around correcting every lie. Your company is in a board meeting and you believe that there is a lie being told. It may or may not be within your current sphere of influence to raise your hand and say, I believe that you're lying. Certainly, presidential candidates never lie, but if they did, we may or may not have the opportunity to say, wait a minute, CNN, let me call you. This person is lying, or if you prefer, Fox News or whatever. We can't necessarily correct every lie, but within our sphere of engagement, if we speak dishonesty or we listen to it and don't reprove it or walk away from it, the Scripture says we're breaking the ninth commandment. So think about what that looks like in the community of faith. How many words are spoken in the community of faith? In careless ways, giving ear to gossip and slander. Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says that we are to speak evil of no one. You may say to yourself, well, I'm not speaking evil, I'm speaking what's true. But God's word actually says that if you go around as a whisperer, you're dishonest. Because you are speaking things that are not yours to speak. But this can be very subtle, can't it? Sometimes the breaking of this commandment can involve, at least in the beginning, a good-heartedness. We are told to bear one another's burdens. We're told to pray for one another. And so there are times, of course, where in our own sinfulness, that good and spirit-implanted desire to bear the burdens of others, to pray for others, starts to move into sharing those burdens with others that we're not supposed to share them with. How many times are there groups of individuals who desire to bear burdens, to give one another a space to share, which turns into talking about someone else? Well, this is my men's group. This is my ladies' fellowship. This is my Sunday school class. This is my small group. I'm burdened by this person, so I will share. Again, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. It's tough, because we read commandments like this, and we think to ourselves, I'm generally good, I try to tell the truth, but are we always upholding truth? And are we always guarding truth in such a way that some truth belongs over here, and it's not mine to dip my toe into, or quite frankly, dive headlong into? The scripture speaks to this in a variety of ways. Ladies, you all are particularly addressed in 1 Timothy 5:13, where women are told particularly and warned against certain things: idleness, gossip, and being a busybody. Now, men, we don't escape either. We are told in scripture to be tellers of truth. But there are certain patterns that can develop among men and among women. And one of the things that Paul says to Timothy in his discussion of how to care for the widows is that there should be a sense in which women be warned against particular sins, one of them being a busybody and a gossip. Brothers and sisters, gossip falls under, slander falls under, the lack of upholding truth falls under the ninth commandment. And you know where else this commandment shows up, where else gossip shows up, is in that famous list of sins in Romans 1. Have you read Romans 1 lately? There is a list of particular sins that describes the evilness of mankind. Of course, there are the sins that are so outward in our day: homosexuality, sexual sins, haters of mother and father, loving the created thing rather than the creator. But actually, gossip is there. God actually says one of the reasons why his wrath is coming on mankind and why they need a savior is because they gossip and give ear to gossip. So we've seen the basis of truth, and we've seen the breaking of truth. We could continue all morning to look at various passages of Scripture. But brothers and sisters, once again, I hope you will see that we are breakers of this commandment. We do not uphold the truth the way that we ought. Listen to what God says in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:5. "And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." It's very difficult, brothers and sisters, in our mindset to understand how to place sin. We have certain hierarchies, and sometimes those hierarchies actually follow the biblical pattern. But sometimes we tend to make a hierarchy, a list, an order of sins that doesn't actually line up with God's sins. If I said to you, hey, God is coming against a variety of sins, what sins would you put on the list? God calls certain sins an abomination, things that he hates. What would you put on there? Well, certainly he hates this kind of sexual immorality. Certainly he hates murder. I think the scripture says he hates pride. That's our list. But God actually says, I hate gossip. I hate lying. And at various points in biblical revelation, he says, I'm coming in judgment against breakers of the ninth commandment. So where does this leave us? Because who in this room could raise their hand and say, I have never broken the ninth commandment? Do so, and you will demonstrate the point. We all break this commandment. We've all broken it. And what are we to do? Well, I want us to see one other thing. But before we do it, prayerfully consider today, as you hear God's law, how you may put into practice, by his grace, which we will speak of, the very nuanced ways in which you can grow in upholding truth. Maybe you make it a regular practice not to lie to your neighbor, not to perjure yourself on the witness stand, however frequently you're there. But are you honest with those around you? Do you seek to avoid being involved in conversations that are not yours to be involved in, even if they are under the guise of caring? Listen, brothers and sisters, maybe this is a little bit blunt, but talking about another brother and sister in this church under the guise of we're bearing burdens or we're offering counseling is sin. And the scripture says, you're lying. You're lying. How can we care well? How can we counsel well without involving ourselves in gossip and slander? Is this mine? If this is not mine, don't tell me that. What would the Church of Jesus Christ look like today if every person who heard gossip actually said, I can't hear that? So there are ways in which the overt lies of our society God has freed us from. But may He free us increasingly from the very subtle, nuanced ways that the enemy trips us up or our own flesh still for love of the praise of others or even sometimes a misguided love of one another. We don't abide in truth. Let us pray to this end. Brothers and sisters, the third thing that the scripture reveals to us about truth is that we are the beneficiaries of truth. We are the beneficiaries of truth. We benefit from truth. There's one particular incident in scripture I think is most helpful in this moment. Because in a room this size, I'm assuming that I'm preaching largely to those who know that they're sinners and they know they need a Savior. You've been following Christ perhaps for months or years or decades even. And yet you still see, with even a holy frustration, that this commandment still reminds you of your need for a Savior. You still see in your own life that you don't uphold truth the way that you ought. There was once a man who told a great lie. Three of them, actually. And what made the lie extra bad was the person that he was actually lying about. This lie was told once. The words were uttered slightly differently, but it was told twice. The words were changed again, perhaps with a little more force, a little more resolve, and it was told one more time. And the lie was actually about Jesus. But Jesus would go to the cross, and He would bleed. And He would die for sinners. And after He died on the third day, He was raised with healing in His wings. And Jesus, victorious over sin and death, is able to offer grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy to the worst of sinners. And one of the first people that He seeks out with His saving grace, His forgiveness wrought by the cross, was a liar. Turn with me to John's Gospel, John chapter 21. There we read these words, John 21, verse 15. By now I'm sure you know that we speak of Peter. Just days before, little girls and those with greater standing in society had all asked him, "Do you know this Jesus?" "No, I do not know him." "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man." Even cursing and saying, "I don't know him." If there is any lie that is so twisted and so deceptive, it's actually saying, "I don't know Jesus," when you know him. What does Jesus do? With the glorious finished work of the cross and the empty tomb, he seeks out the liar. He goes and finds him. Of all the things that the risen Christ could do, for those few days that he is here before he ascends, one of the top priorities was seeking out a liar. It says this, John 21, verse 15. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" And then he proceeds to tell Peter that he will have a place in the ministry of Christ's church, but it will be one full of suffering. Jesus goes after Peter three times. Peter had lied three times. One of the things that the risen Christ does with grace and mercy is come after a liar. Brothers and sisters, we are the beneficiaries of the truth of the gospel, that God saves wicked sinners. Maybe you're here and you know that you've told 1,000 lies in the last week. Christ, through his word, comes to you and offers you himself. Maybe you know that your entire life has been a lie. Christ comes to you through the preaching of his word and offers you himself. For that is what the preaching of the gospel is. It is an offering of Christ to the hearers. It is a legitimate offer. Christ comes to you and says, "I am the Savior who lived a perfect life, not once sinning. I am the Savior who died on the cross, bearing the punishment and wrath and judgment for sins. And I am offered to you here in this promised word. It is sure and it is true. I am the Savior of liars.'" He's offering himself to you, sinner, that you might trust him, that you might leave off sin and resting on your own righteousness, and that you might cling to him, that your sins might be forgiven, that your record be his record of perfect truth-telling. Think about this. Every single commandment that we walk through condemns us. And then when we hear the gospel, we need not only remember that Jesus' blood washes us from that sin, cleanses us, brings us out from under the punishment of that sin, but that his righteous life is actually credited to our account. And we need to think about God's law when we do this. Jesus' life of perfect truth-telling is now on your account. Jesus' perfect life of never stealing is on your account, Christian. Jesus' life of never lusting after another woman is on your account, Christian. Sometimes we don't take time to meditate deeply enough on what God has done in the gospel. Christ bled to pay for your sins, but he also lived that you might be the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus seeks out the liar, Peter, and offers him rich mercy. After all that the scripture said, God hates a lying tongue, it's an abomination. In this, the love of God was made manifest. God sent his Son to be the propitiation, the wrath-bearing sacrifice for our sins. So we're the beneficiaries of truth, gospel truth, and it frees us to be honest. So we read in the writings of the New Testament after the finished work of Christ that we are to be people who no longer lie, but are truth tellers because of who we are in Christ. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. In other words, because Christ has dealt with you, he's offered you his grace and mercy. Now go live this way. No longer live this way, live this way. Do you read the scripture that way? Do you see that the commands of God are now given to you to obey because of who you are? Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I'm kind of interested in Christianity. You people seem to have some good points. You kind of like each other. I'd like to clean myself up. So tell me what I have to do. The gospel is not about what you do. The gospel is that Christ does everything. He bleeds and dies for sinners. He lives in their stead according to his humanity. And he's offered to everyone who will hear. And the gospel is the good news that Christ saves from sin. And we trust him by faith. And having been renewed by his Spirit and brought from death into life, he now tells us, this is how I want you to live now. You're mine. Go live this way. And one way that we're to live is, don't lie anymore. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We're the beneficiaries of truth. What would it have looked like on the beach that morning when the liar saw his friend, but his Savior who had just finished the work of the cross and the empty tomb? What would it have looked like that first glance? Would he look him in the eye? You know all things. He's got good theology. You know all things, Lord. Would he look him in the eye? You know that I've lied about you, Lord. It's almost as if, at least with his words, Jesus takes him by the face. He says, look. Look at me, Peter. Look into my eyes. Your lies are not the basis of our relationship. My cross and righteousness is. So Peter, for the rest of his life, will be forever changed because Peter, the liar, was forgiven by Christ, the perfect truth teller. May we, brothers and sisters, know the sweet, sweet embrace of Christ and the precious words of his gospel. And when we see in ourselves a lack of truth-telling, may we look up and see the one who perfectly forgives liars. Let's pray. Living God, we ask your blessing on our hearts. Help us, O Lord, we pray. We ask that you would help us to not be dishonest with our ears or with our lips. Help us to see the commandment laid before us, but also to see the blessed promise of the gospel, even for those who have spent their life not upholding truth. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to grow by your grace and the speaking of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.